Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Have you heard of the Jesus Book? The University of Hawaii Linguistics Department conducted social linguistic studies that show that there are approximately 200,000 speakers of Hawaii Pidgin in Hawaii that can't function well in the standard English-speaking world professionally and socially. A population of speakers probably are not being reached effectively in standard English. Since 2000, the Jesus Book has sold 91,000 copies. Pastor Earl Morihara is the lead translator for the Hawaii Pidgin Bible Translation Project that began in 1986 when Dr. Joe and Barbara Grimes came to Hawaii as a visiting professor from Cornell and Wycliffe Bible translators. Someone, somewhere along the way, has translated the scriptures from Greek and Hebrew into a known language, and thereby creating a capacity to communicate the gospel to you and to me. So today, Pastor Earl joins us, and we share at the beginning of our show, just to remind you, the reason we have the Good Life program is all about proclaiming and sharing the gospel, that Jesus loves you. He knows you, no matter what you're facing right now, no matter what you're going through. Jesus came to die on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ today calls you to himself. We ask you, would you open your heart to Jesus? Do you know that Jesus Christ is calling you? Would you respond to him? Pastor Earl Morihara has indeed done that. He joined the pastoral staff of New Hope Central Oahu in 2001 after teaching English as a second language for many years in Hawaii. He also was a missionary English teacher in Japan and taught English at Mililani High School. He has an MA in Christian Ministry from Pacific Rim Christian University and an MA in English as a second language at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. Pastor Earl also serves as a co-translator for the Good and Special Book, the Hawaii Pidgin Bible. Pastor Earl, welcome to our show.
Aloha.
Where did you grow up?
Well, Danny, I grew up in Waipahu and graduated in 1981 from that school.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, there's so many people that I would say that influenced me the most, but I think in my early years, it would be my parents, obviously, and I think in my early years, if you count early years being in high school and in college, it would have to be my current wife. I didn't get married to her until 1990, but we grew up, we're high school sweethearts, and she knew me, and I knew her as someone who didn't know Christ, but in college, in our first year at the University of Hawaii, we gave our lives to Christ and started growing.
Tell us about that. How did you become believers in Jesus?
Well, first off, I did not grow up in a Christian home, nor did I have a Christian background. So I was working at a summer job at Aia Loop Trail. And I met, you know, a lot of guys working there. And then, you know, after that summer job situation, you know, people went off, did different things. And eventually, when I got enrolled at the University of Hawaii, I met up with one of the guys again. And he ran up to me and said, Earl, hey, I'm saved. yeah, and not the same guy anymore. I said, oh, what happened? And the first thought I had was, oh, you almost drowned. What happened to you? You know, I was like, oh, and no understanding what this idea of save meant when he was talking to me. And so, no. I became a Christian. I went trust Christ. And I said, oh, that's good for you, you know. And so because in my background, I didn't have church background, he said, you know, come to church. We'll go church with me. And so I said, okay. And I said, okay, I'll check this church out. Never been to a Christian church. So I went to a Christian service with him. And it was a very ultra-Pentecostal service. And I didn't know anything else. And I remember, you know, after that, you know, he shared the story of Christ. And you know, prior to that, I as I was growing up, you know, I would think about life and what would happen after death. And the idea of not knowing what would happen after life kind of scared me. It kind of at times would just make me think, boy, I don't know what's going to happen after life. And I was paralyzed at those moments of thinking about life after death. And so when he told me, that guy said, you know, Earl, you trust Christ. He can give you everlasting life, you know. And I said, I want that. I want everlasting life to know that my life not going to end after I die. And, you know, so when I said yes to Jesus, it was more because I wanted everlasting life, not necessarily getting to know Jesus as a person. But of course, through that time, I really know that when I said yes to Christ, something happened. And I eventually got to know that decision of being assured of everlasting life was, okay, it is through knowing Jesus. But of course, that took some time to understand. But that's my initial story of coming to know Christ and my initial journey to Christ.
You know, Danny, we've talked about this. Many of our listeners today may, if they give an honest assessment of their life, have Jesus as their Savior, but not yet the Lord of their life. And there is a life's difference in that. So, Earl, thank you for explaining that. And we need them to have Jesus as both their Savior and the Lord of their lives.
Well, how did that process take place for you? The Lordship of Christ in your life.
Yes, well, I mean, he became my Savior for sure, but not my Lord of my life, because at that time I wanted to go to the university, not necessarily because I wanted to have a great job in the business world. I had a background in giving my life to baseball. And so at that time, the way to continue your career in baseball, if you're not going to play in college, is to become a coach. And so to become a high school coach or something like that, you become a teacher. So that was what I was focusing on, and that was my Lord, or that pursuit of becoming a coach, not knowing, you know, as a 19-year-old or 18-year-old, what the future may hold, but, you know, that was my plan. And so I, you know, went about, you know, going through my studies to become a teacher, but that was when I started growing in my understanding of who Christ was and his plans for me. And at the moment where I was faced, I mean, I graduated eventually. I went on a summer mission for about 2.5 months to the Navajo Indian Reservation, and I was open to the idea of maybe God has another plan for me that I could serve overseas long-term as a missionary. And, you know, that's where this crossroads situation came about, because my high school mentor teacher, who was not a PE teacher, he was this English teacher that helped me through the program. And he helped me to get an interview at his new school. It was Koku High School. And I remember that moment where I got the interview. I got the job. It was a tenured line position where, you know, you guaranteed, you know, where you'd be tenured. And he's, you know, in that conversation with the principal, you know, I would become the coach of the JV. And, you know, of course, and this Koku High School, it's not a powerhouse baseball community, but the idea of that I would be there to possibly transform the community to be this baseball community. I mean, again, that was the vision I had then from my teacher. But I had this opportunity at the time you know, as I was growing my relationship with Christ, it's like, you know, do I want to do that, or do I want to make a difference for you overseas, especially to a country like Japan? That's my homeland. I mean, I'm fourth generation Japanese American, and you know, I'm not really somebody who can speak Japanese, you know, like ume sushi, you know, all that kind of stuff, but not conversing it. So anyway, I remember making that decision then, saying, you know what, I'm going to turn that position down, and I'm going to take a year off to get ready for Japan. And that was a big, big decision to say, I'm going to trust you, Christ, for my future. It's going to go on a different trajectory, but I'll trust you. And that was, I think, the main lordship decision I made back then.
Well, it's a crossroads. It's a key decision, surrendering to Christ as Lord and with an open hand, saying, Lord, here I am. I place, you know, you've given me life. I put my life in your hands. And it's a real act of surrender. And who knew what God was going to do? And yet it's still unfolding, especially when we talk about a legacy that is going to be left for eternity, mm-hmm. when it comes to the gospel and the word of God being presented and communicated in a very special language. You know, God does communicate to us in language that we can understand. And sometimes what he'll do is he'll select certain people who might not even realize it at that time. He'll select them, set them apart, really holy, holy, set apart, sanctified for a purpose, for God's purpose. And as you move in that direction, the Lord has a grace, a provision, and an anointing. More about this anointing from Pastor Earl Morihara when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
There was a video, a PBS documentary that was released a couple years ago that's, you know, it's been rerun across America and, of course, in Hawaii. It's entitled Pigeon, the Voice of Hawaii. I want you to hear this and listen to what it is that Pastor Earl Morihara is a part of that. You'll hear his voice, but we'll use it as a platform to set up what we're going to be discussing about the Jesus book and the special book, as Pastor Earl will explain.
Oh, you know what? Babe, you go on boat, all right? John, you go on boat. Go on. Sam, you go two. They're on three. You guys go this side. The same like the other day, I'm out. Go about three times, but when you're coming down sprint sometimes, then lengthen out.
Let me read them.
I go read them.
Just the second time.
Yeah. People think pidgin one language. Yeah, that's my language. That's the language of my heart. Maybe I don't use them every day because I don't see people who only speak pidgin. So I just speak to them or talk to them in standard English. But if somebody talk like this to me, well, I mean, just come natural for talk. I guess because was from small kid time. That's how I was talking. It's the language of Hawaii. I mean, I don't want to say the Hawaiian language not important. That's the indigenous people's language, and that's great. But the Hawaii we know today, for all the immigrants that went come from all over the place, Japan, Philippines, China, Portugal, when come together, that's the language.
Get people ask, what's pidgin? Pidgin one language, we talk in Hawaii. More than half the people here. Different from Hawaiian. Maybe a little bit like English, but get all kinds of stuff from other kind of languages mixed in. Like from Hawaiian, Cantonese, Portuguese, Japanese, Korean, Filipino. You know, other people when work the plantations.
At the time when they started the plantations in Hawaii, the power on the plantations were primarily English speakers. The immigrant groups do not know each other's language. They're different languages. So in order to communicate with each other, they are using English or whatever English they can hear. So let's say a Japanese immigrant and a Portuguese immigrant trying to speak English to each other, but throwing in features from their own first languages as well. That's how pidgins start. One of the interesting features about pidgin, it has to get vocabulary from somewhere. So one of the things it does is it borrows a lot of vocabulary from the language, from the languages around it. I can sort of hear my grandmother saying stuff. It's something like, yuraiki banana, yuiki wiki kau kau mai tai. The meaning of that, yuraiki banana, if you want this banana, yuiki wiki kau kau. You quickly eat it, mai tai, it'll be okay. The word Manapua, which have been reported to have come from mea ono pua'a. Okay, so mea thing, ono, delicious, pua'a, pig. Right? So delicious pig thing, right? So Manapuas are those buns that have the pork inside of them. And I can imagine, I mean, I don't know exactly when it started or you know what happened, but I can imagine someone, you know, Hawaiian coming up and asking a Chinese guy, you know, give me the delicious pig thing, you know. So mea ono pua'a. And then mea ono pua'a then becomes manapua.
Oh, now you have roast pork too. Roast pork, I like one too.
And roast duck.
So who we are, all that we think and do on this island, all that stuff that make Hawaiian culture is kind of captured in the language.
Your passion. Pastor Earl Morihara, what are one of the things that you are most passionate about this particular season in your life in relation to what we just heard?
You know, I get to be a part of the translation team and to see that from 1986, you know, being a part of the translation of the, of course, the New Testament, the Jesus book, and now, you know, almost POW, as we say, right, the Old Testament, the before Jesus book, and we get to see that project, this 30-year project, almost being completed is a joy. It's a passion of mine to see that being completed, and not only that, to see it one day get out into the hands of people that really need it. And I would say more than the hands, in the heart of people who need to hear the word of God in their language, where they can really resonate with the message of Christ. You know, as we say, you know, trust Christ and come solid in Him. You know, so that's what we want to do. And
so, the good and special book is really going to be a combination of the Jesus book, the New Testament, and the before Jesus book, the Old Testament.
Yes, and yeah, and you know, just to figure out what we're going to call the Bible, you know, and we weren't sure. And then, as we were asking the one in charge, the Lord, to figure out us to give us an idea, we thought, well, we call the Holy Spirit the Good and Special Spirit, and we have the Holy Bible. So why don't we call the book the Good and Special Book? And
that makes sense.
Yeah. Huh? Makes sense, and I think resonated with those of us who were thinking through what should we, you know.
I mean, that because often, that's what you're using in the text itself, right?
Yeah, for the Holy Spirit. Spirit, good and special Spirit. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I have to tell Earl that I'm so grateful they're not calling it Dakine.
right, Dakine book. Yeah,
some of our listeners won't understand that, sure, but he will.
Yes.
Now, as you've gone through the process, what has fascinated you most going through the development of the translation?
The most fascinating is that that there are people that are being saved or reading it and coming tight with Christ or come, you know, solid in their faith. And it's just fascinating to me that for me to know that as we're doing this, it's not just an academic exercise, but it is actually being involved in trying to communicate God's word into my language, you know, my heart language, and that it can speak to others. And the fascinating part is it's just not me, it's others that are responding as well.
People grow up speaking pidgin in Hawaii, but they might not realize that it has been qualified as a language. How did that take place? When did it happen?
Yeah, and then, I mean, you know, at the University of Hawaii, they have done studies. And, you know, in the 1800s, we had this plantation culture, right? Mm-hmm. And so the plantation culture is where the pidgin started. And, you know, the first generation guys who spoke it not as their first language, but as their second language, right? Because they spoke their immigrant language. But they had kids, and the kids then adopted it as their first language in the linguistic department, or they call it Hawaii Creole English. So you're asking me, how did this come about? Well, there was this Hawaii Creole English, and then you had Standard English. And if you follow the history of Hawaii, right, they thought, you know, this is a substandard a form of English. You better not speak that. In fact, there were schools, right, English standard schools that existed that actually looked down upon those who were trying to get into those schools and said, you know what, we're not going to accept you if you don't have the ability to speak standard English.
Earl, let me jump in and tell you that I taught at Blanche Pope Elementary School in Waimanalo in 67, 68, 69. And we had a principal that required us as a staff to speak the King's English. And all of our children spoke pidgin. So she was asking us to teach in a special English, and then they'd go home to pidgin. And it didn't take long for her to realize that just wasn't going to work. But that's how it was back in the late 60s.
Yeah, and you know what you're describing now is somewhat like I feel is happening to many churches, not unintentionally trying to look down on their ability to speak Pidgin, but the fact that in churches you have this Christianese, right? This mm-hmm. language that you speak that of the Christians of how to understand God and how to live upright life, and then to expect people to now, who especially the local people, to live out their faith in this different kind of mm-hmm. language world when they're not really using that kind of language in their regular lives, because they're functioning in the Pidgin speaking world.
Pastor Earl, you preach, you teach, you communicate. What is code switching?
Well,
when you refer to preaching,
yeah.
what is that?
Code switching linguistically means that you speak one language and you switch to another language, and of course Hawaii Pidgin is similar to English, but it's similar enough where people can understand. But when you code switch from standard English into Pidgin, especially for those who are Hawaii Pidgin speakers, you catch their attention. They may laugh. They may like, mm-hmm. wow, okay, you're speaking. I can understand. And to a point where they now are listening closer.
Yes.
And we do this all the time, I think, for people who function in the standard speaking world and function also in the Pidgin world. They do that. And I think you do it unconsciously because you figure out who you're speaking with, right? Your interlocutor, as we say. And then you kind of adjust. And a lot of people can do that, but some people cannot. And you know those who are standard speaking people, they cannot code switch to Pidgin. And there are a lot of Pidgin speakers, they only speak Pidgin, they cannot code switch to standard English. And that's the people that I personally and in the translation wants to reach, the team wants to reach, that cannot function well in standard English. Maybe they can understand it, but it doesn't reach their heart.
When we come back, I need a sample. I need a sample of this, Pastor Earl.
You got to talk story with me in a Pidgin, then I can go easily.
I want to hear it from a preaching context. Let's say you're preaching a special passage. We're going to take a break, so I give you a little bit of a moment to kind of think it through. But then a deeper question. Why is it effective? How does God use it? Why? Communication, that's what we're talking about. We're communicating here through radio waves, through the internet, online, as you listen to us. The Lord is very interested in communication. In fact, the Lord has given us, God has given us the capacity to communicate. We communicate visually, we communicate verbally, we communicate with our bodies, our movements, we call it gesticulations, movements, communication. Messages are being transmitted. The message of the gospel is being transmitted even in Pidgin. When we come back, we'll get a sample of this and more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Danny, how do I get the Jesus book? And how would I get the Before Jesus book, and really the whole thing, when it comes out, the special book.
The good and special book.
The Holy Bible. The good and special book. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Suzanne Maher, my co-host. Pastor Earl Morihara. Pastor Earl is on staff at New Hope Central Oahu. He is also the head translator for The Good and Special Book.
Earl, could this also be that the good and special book is Mobera?
I hope so. It's Mobera than the translations that people use if they no can speak standard English, you know.
There you go.
You can find out more about the Jesus book at the Jesus book. You can put that, Google that, and it'll take you right there. And there's another reference point, too. The Jesus book in Hawaiian Pidgin.
Yeah, I should have had that memorized, but it's just Google the Hawaii Pidgin Bible, it'll take you to that website, and it has the Jesus book, and you know the Jesus book has undergone revisions as well, and it's not going to be reflected in that website with that translation, and once the whole Bible gets published, it'll be reflected in the revisions that have been made. But I mean, for now, that's, you know, I would say use them.
Mm-hmm. Well, before our break, we're talking about code switching. And I like that technical term from a technical standpoint, but it really is talking about, you're actually talking, using two languages while you're giving a message, for example.
Or, yeah, a message, or you just live life, right? And you speak in a certain, yeah.
You go in and out.
Right.
Well, give us an example of what that would be like, and then the question about effectiveness.
In terms of code switching in the midst of giving a sermon?
Yes, yes.
Well, you know, in the congregation that I am a part of, I'm not in Waianae or Waimanalo or Papakolea. I'm in Mililani. And so most of the people that come to the church are English speakers. But if you grew up in Hawaii, you understand Hawaii Pidgin. And there might be some people in the church that function most of the time in you know, Hawaii Pidgin. So, I mean, I start out, and they kind of know. They know me as somebody who's, you know, I mean, when I get excited anyway, it's kind of hard to disguise that I'm not a Hawaii guy. I mean, I'm getting excited in Hawaii Pidgin. So, you know, I'm speaking, giving a message, and it's not all in Hawaii Pidgin. And I probably could do so because that's my first language. But I start out speaking, and then, you know, like Jesus, when he spoke to people, he used stories. So a lot of times, if I'm going to tell my own personal story, or if I think it's appropriate at that point to use a illustration from the Bible, I bust them out in the Jesus book, and I read them, and of course the standard English people who come to church, they probably know the story, in standard English. So when I read them in Pidgin, they kind of laugh and they can follow along. But I tell you, for those who don't know standard English as their heart language, they listen in well, and it touches a chord, because it's being.
So for them, it is Mobera.
I hope so. And then you can tell on people's faces that they're receiving it and they're understanding. So that gives me a lot of gratification. But again, you know, in their settings where if I were to speak Hawaii Pidgin, they're like some military folk, they get lost. And so I got to be sensitive to them as well.
Read us something.
Okay, well, I'll go tell you the story. You know the story I'm going to be telling about. Jesus tell one story about one guy get two boys. After that, the younger boy get all his stuffs, sell his share and take the money and go in far place. And over there, he spent them all because he buckle loose. He no more nothing, and that time had no more food in all the country. So he get real hard time. So he go by one guy from the country and get one job. And the guy sent him out to his fields for feed the pigs. The boy real hungry. He like eat the tree beans, the pigs stay eat, but nobody give him nothing. The younger boy went spend all his money, gotta get job for feed pigs. Then he wise up and figure, hey, how come all the guys that work for my father for pay, they get more plenty of food than they can eat. Me, I real hungry over here, for and little more market. More better I go back to my father. Then I can tell him, hey, Dad, I will do something real bad against God in the sky and against you, and no good enough for be your boy. Let me work for you for pay, and then bye-bye, I pay you back. Then he hail from that place and go to his father. And you guys know the rest of the story,
can
right?
Can you read some more? This is one of my favorite stories.
He's still far from the house when his father spot him. His father stay heart stay filled with pity, and he ran to his boy. He hug his boy and kiss him. And the boy tell, hey, Daddy, I will do something real bad against God in the sky and against you. I know good enough will be a boy. The younger brother go back to his father, and the father take him in. But the father tell his worker guys, come quick over here, hurry up, go get one robe, the bestest one, put him on him, put one ring on top of his finger and shoes on top of his feet. Go get the bestest cow and kill him. Go throw one party. We'll go throw one party and make kind of capilla. We go party. Cause it's my boy. Just like he went market, but now he come back alive. Cause he was lost. But now we find them, and they went party.
Wow. That's one of my favorite stories. I love to hear it, and then to hear it in that way. You know, the message, Pastor Earl. Let's code switch. What's the message? What's this message? What's the heart of this story?
Well, Danny, you know that we have a wonderful Father that... And then, you know, he has all these kids, and that, you know, for us on earth, he has all these kids. Our Heavenly Father has all of us. And some of us, we stay by him. Some of us, we go buckle loose and do our own thing. Maybe not wild living like this boy that we just read about. But eventually we get to a place where, you know, whether we fall off the pulley like you did, or we get to a place that, you know, we are in desperation, or we question about life like I did. And you go, you know what? I got to run to God. I got to open myself to God. And the boy did. He turned back to his father. And I think, you know, as we hear that story, we see the father waiting for his son to come back. In fact, so much so that he ran out and kissed him. And not only that, he threw a party for his son that was once lost and now he's found. And, you know, that's the story of God waiting for us. You know, he's just waiting for us to come to our senses and come back to him.
I look at that story, and I when I hear or read about it, when the father sees the son, it always touched me to think that the father is not waiting for the son. He can't contain himself. The dad can't contain himself. He has to run to the boy.
That's right.
He can't keep it cool and, you know, come on, you come, son. You know, I'm going to wait over here. The dad doesn't care. He's been missing his son so much.
Exactly.
And right now, someone listening, they're saying, oh, but I went buckle loose. I did. I'm like this guy. I'm worse. People don't even know how far I went. And the marvel of the beauty of tenderness, where God our Father, in pictured here, you know, is running to us. Do you know that God runs, and dear friend, God is running to you
with arms open wide.
And you know, then I also think, I know this is a parable that Jesus was using as a teaching tool. At the same time, I think this might be reading into some of it too, but how did the dad know the son was going to come home that day? Why was the dad there when the son came home? Could it be that daddy or papa was waiting every day since he left?
Mm-hmm.
Praying for that day.
Praying, exactly.
When he was going to come home, but praying expectantly.
Yes.
God, maybe today.
Right.
Maybe this is the day. Maybe this is the day that my son is going to come home.
Yeah, and just think about the son, right? The guy went buckaloose, thinking that, you know, you play this tape in your head saying, I don't think my father is going to accept me back. You know, no ways will he do that. I squandered everything he gave me. And you kind of hesitate. But you get to a point where you're so desperate and you give it a chance. And obviously we know how the father responded. You know, he didn't, you know, say, hey, boy, you owe me back the money. He just took him in and accepted him. He didn't even expect any payment back.
Mm.
In fact, threw a party for him.
Mm. We talk about examples of the sovereignty of God, the forgiveness of God. This is the grace of God, the incredible grace of God.
Yeah.
Pastor Earl, in Pigeon, how would we say, come home?
I guess you just would say something like that, you know? You gotta come home.
Yeah, just gotta come home. My friend, dear friend, as we take our break, this may be a break just to pause in your moment right now before God and pray, oh God, I come home. I come home to you. I come home. And know this, that as you do, the Lord's arms are outstretched, wide for you. In fact, the moment you say, I come home, the Lord is running to you, dear one, embracing you, loving you. Don't have to say a word. He knows your heart. He knows your brokenness. He knows your repentance. You come. Come quickly. He's running to you as you come to him. Oh, the marvelous love of Almighty God. This is your moment. Indeed, yes, this is your moment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Okay, you want to know somebody? Well, just ask them about their passion. They start talking about their passion, you might not be able to interject because it flows, it bubbles like a bursting stream out of them, and it's magnetic. To see someone in their passion, to see someone speaking about something that it comes from the deep well inside and beneath. Well, Pastor Earl Morihara speaking about translating the Bible into Hawaii Pidgin from Greek and Hebrew, and with Dr. Joe Grimes. It's a real privilege to have Pastor Earl here with us. Danny Yamashiro, yeah. Pastor Earl Morihara, my co-host Suzanne Maurer. If you're tuning in right now, you say, Danny, you know, I just tuned in. This is so interesting. I want to hear more. My heart is moved. My mind is stimulated. How can I get this program? I say, look, this and all our other programs are available for you as a free podcast. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get the program in its entirety. And as you do, go ahead and share it with a family member or friend. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Now, Pastor Earl, we talked about your passion. Now, how has the Lord helped you? This is more personal. Well, that's personal. This is personal from the standpoint of how has the Lord helped you in your life through challenging times?
Right. And first of all, I just want to clarify, you know, you say it's me being the translator. There are other translators, and I don't want to take the credit for being the person who was the one translating all the scripture into Hawaii Pidgin. It's a team of 29 people. I just so happened to be the one today to have the honor to work with Dr. Joe Grimes, and work with him via distance and on the computer. But it's a compilation of many people's hard work and efforts. So
thank you.
But
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. So you're asking me how God has helped me through hard times. In those tough times I've experienced, you know, I've experienced, as you asked me the question, the loss of my father. Tough times through making decisions for my future. And, just tough times through, you know, relationships that, you know, you that go sideways. And, in those moments of despair and not knowing, especially for the, you know, when I mentioned my father dying of cancer. And, one of the things that I came back home to Hawaii after my time in Japan is I wanted my whole family to come to know Christ, right? To trust Christ. They knew I was a missionary and it wasn't until my father had cancer that I remember sharing with him and in that moment of my despair thinking, I'm going to lose my dad. And there was a point before when he was healthy, and I remember, you know, trying to share with him the message, and he said to me this, he said, hey boy, no preach to me, you know, you got to show him by your life. And I said, oh, okay. So, and I believe that. So I'm saying, Dad, I'm not going to, you know, preach to you anymore. But at this moment of his dying, I said, Dad, you got to trust Christ. And I remember being in that situation thinking that, you know, I don't want my dad to die not knowing Christ. And he represented my whole family, because none of my family members, even my brother, didn't know Christ. My mom didn't. And I remember in that hospice nursing care facility, you know, my mom pipes up and said, Daddy, you better, you know, trust Christ. And I looked at her and I said, Mom, you want to trust Christ? You want to believe God? She said, yes. And Daddy, you too. So I remember holding hands with my dad and my mom and in that room, praying for him to receive Christ in his time where, you know, he couldn't hardly communicate. So I said, Dad, if this is what you want to do, squeeze my hand. And I remember him squeezing my hand in agreement with that decision. And I said, wow. In that moment of despair in my life, he showed up. You know, he was there and honored my my heart's desire to see my mom and dad, and soon after my brother. And all through hard times, you know, sometimes hard times are good times, because that's when God catches your attention. It's just like the story we read, you know, of the we call him the prodigal, you know, son. Mm-hmm. It's really the prodigal dad waiting for his son to come home because he went through hard times. So a lot of times in those hard time moments, it's actually God's blessing in disguise.
You talk, Pastor Earl, about what you share, what you said, the tense atmosphere of the moment. I sense that it's imperative for us to really have our feet on the ground, as it were, to say the things that need to be said before it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we wait too long.
Oh. Yes.
And then we let a moment pass. When we communicate a message, once it comes out of our mouth, once we are in that moment, perhaps we shouldn't overthink things and overanalyze the situation and sort of psych ourselves out of the moment and say, next time.
Yeah.
But maybe it's the moment, and that's why these tense moments, these moments when, you know, we get real drastic, things are drastic, things are on the line, that we have the impetus to actually say what needs to be said.
Mm-hmm.
But today, someone listening, dear friend, as you hear us, as you're joining with us in this dialogue, in this conversation, you might be driving, you might be in a hospital, you might be, you know, this might be for you kind of like a church behind bars, or wherever you might be, at an office, in another country. But you know what? The Lord is speaking to you right now. And the Lord may be speaking to your heart to go and say the most important things that need to be said to dad and mom.
Yes.
Or to your brother and sister. Or to your dearest friend. And not wait till the time has passed.
And also, I'm sure you prayed for your parents and your family for a long time. And we can't emphasize enough the importance of being fervent in prayer, unrelenting, never giving up, of praying for our loved ones that they will come to the saving knowledge of Christ.
Right.
We were all prayed for.
Yes, exactly.
And we need to pray for others.
Yes.
I love your mom's words, Daddy, you better trust Christ. And how you went on, Mom, you want?
Yeah. Yeah.
What a marvelous memory.
Yeah.
What a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And to see that my mom still trusts Christ today, and it's so funny because, you know, she knows that I what I do, and I give messages, and she says to me jokingly, I mean I think she's serious, but jokingly she says it, Earl, you better talk good English now. And I'm listening to her saying, you better talk good English, Mom. You listen to how you're talking, you know.
You know, hear yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Earl, lead us in a prayer, especially someone today who may need to trust you.
Should I speak in my...
heart language, brother. Heart language.
Hey, Father God, you're so good. And you give us the good, kind life because we trust you and we get you in our hearts. And for somebody listening today that maybe going through some hard times, Lord, you the one can save them. You the one can take them out of the stuff they stay in. They just got to go to you. And as we read today, just come home. because you're going to accept them. You can take them in, and you're not going to judge them. You can tell them, just come. You're my boy. You're my son or daughter. Just come back because I love you, and I get great plans for you, and just come. And don't worry about all the stuff that you can do before time. Just trust me because I love you, and no shame. Come back. I'm going to hammer your shame for all the stuff you can do bad. And you do that, if you open your heart to me, you can come and be my boy again, and we'll talk story, and we'll just live life, the good kind of life that you promised us for having. And so, mahalo plenty, God, that we can open our hearts to you. And even right now, as somebody opening their hearts to you, Father God, may your good and special spirit come inside. Show them the good kind of life that you would promise them to get, and for them live the right way, the porno way for with you and with others in their life. So tell you now, because we're Jesus guys, that's it.
Amen.
Pastor Earl, thank you. Thank you for being with us today, sharing in the unique way as only Earl Morihara can share, and the full life that you are living, it inspires us. So thank you again, dear brother.
Thank you, Danny, for allowing me to share.
Dear one, yeah, we hope that you were encouraged today in this very unique program with Pastor Earl Morihara. You can find out more about the Jesus Book. Just go ahead and Google the Jesus Book, and there's information for you there. And even as Pastor Earl has prayed, look, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a message for you there. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God's persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Pastor Earl Morihara. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.